We have come together this morning to bring to mind and to remember our Master in these emblems on the table. That dying command, do this in remembrance of me. And to prepare our minds, dear brothers and sisters, word of exhortation. Are we excited, dear brothers and sisters, at the forthcoming events? Are we waiting with eager anticipation of the outcome of the forthcoming referendum to take place, God willing, on June the 23rd, to decide whether it is God's will that now is the time for Britain to withdraw from Europe? The beast of Brussels? Yes, brethren and sisters, we may be on the edge of something big. In these days in which we live, the manifestation of the King of the North, that northern aggressor and its confederates, Russia having its military base in Syria, is promising nonetheless to bring to pass Ezekiel 38. European military confederacy with Gog as its head. We still await that, dear brothers and sisters, that development. At the moment, it is slightly too early. But Britain and her allies have no part with Gogian confederacy. The merchants of Tarshish and her young lions will oppose the European confederacy. Art thou come to take a spoil? Therefore, dear brethren and sisters, we would expect that before the Gogian hordes march southwards, Britain can no longer be part of Europe. My dear brethren and sisters, the signs of the times, the angelic ministers are assuredly at work among the nations, maneuvering the nations for the grand climax. Dear brothers and sisters, the question we have to ask ourselves is, are we awake and watching? Are we lacking in the spirit of our pioneers? Are we lacking in our separation from the world? Are we loving this world? Dear brethren and sisters, when these things come to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Are we loving this world? Turn with me, please, to John's letter. First to John chapter 2, and reading from verse 15. John says there in his letter, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. The world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. The world passeth away. No, brethren and sisters, this world, this kingdom of men will be destroyed. Let us not be complacent with the things of this life. Our homes, our gardens, our cars, holidays. No, brethren and sisters, they will all come to an end when our Lord returns to make up his jewels. That verse 25 in that letter of John chapter 2. And this is the promise that he hath promised us, even eternal life. The promise to us, dear brothers and sisters, if we remain faithful and steadfast in the truth, knowing that God is in control and that the Most High ruleth in the kingdom of men and giveth it to whomsoever he will. This is why, brethren and sisters, that we do not have anything to do with voting. No, dear brothers and sisters, God in his wisdom will take us out of Europe if he wills. If not at this time, then at another time in the future. Because as we know, dear brethren and sisters, that one day with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day, God is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness. No, dear brothers and sisters, he is in control. But we are not allowed to be slack, dear brothers and sisters. That verse 28 of that same chapter. And now, little children, abide in him, that when he shall appear, we may have confidence and not be ashamed before him at his coming. And if ye know that he is righteous, ye know that every one that doeth righteousness is born of him. We may have confidence. Yes, dear brethren and sisters, confidence. God's plan is working out. This is our confidence. We read in Isaiah this morning about God working his purpose out. Turn with me to Isaiah and reading from chapter 21. This is an example of God working his purpose out in the past. Just as God, through his prophets, Isaiah and Daniel, said it would be. Reading from verse 2 of chapter 21. A grievous vision is declared unto me. This is Isaiah. The treacherous dealer dealeth treacherously, and the spoiler spoileth. Go up, O Medes, besiege, O Media. All the sighing thereof have I made to cease. Therefore are my loins filled with pain. Pangs have taken hold upon me, as the pangs of a woman that travaileth. I was bowed down at the hearing of it. I was dismayed at the seeing of it. My heart painteth. Fearfulness affrighted me. The night of my pleasure hath he turned into fear unto me. Dear brethren and sisters, Daniel 5. That is Belteshazzar. Belteshazzar quaking. Verse 22. Not Belteshazzar, Belshazzar, sir. And thou, his son, O Belshazzar, hast not humbled thine heart, though thou knewest all this. He knew what would happen, but hast lifted up thyself against the Lord of heaven. That finger of God, the writing on the wall, meeny, meeny, tekel, you fasten, weighed in the balances and found wanting. Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, would be destroyed by the Medes and the Persians. Thou art that king of gold, Daniel said. This chapter 21 of Isaiah is a repetition of chapters 13 and 14 of Isaiah, when we read in our readings the other day. Isaiah 13, verse 9. And Babylon, the glory of kingdoms, the beauty of the Chaldees' excellency, shall be as when God overthrew Sodom and Gomorrah. Verse 4 of 14, that thou shalt take up a taunting speech, in the margin it records for us, against the king of Babylon, and say, how hath the oppressor ceased, the golden city ceased. Verse 11, thy pomp is brought down to the grave, and the noise of thy vials. O Lucifer, son of the morning, that is none other than the king of the Babylon, how art thou cut down to the ground, which didst weaken the nations? This is the deliverance of Israel from the 70 years of captivity. Israel will be delivered from that captivity of Babylon. What did the Israelites say? How can we sing the Lord's song in a strange land? Did they have confidence, dear brethren and sisters, that this would come to pass? Do we have confidence, dear brethren and sisters, that our Lord will return to save the tents of Judah? Brethren and sisters, this is what strengthens our faith, that God is working his purpose out. Prophetically, the deliverance of Israel by the Medes and the Persians under the hand of Cyrus represents the latter-day deliverance from Babylon the Great under Christ and the saints. Babylon the Great, the mother of harlots, Revelation 14. Revelation 14 and verse 8. Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made all nations drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. 13 of that same chapter, and I heard a voice from heaven saying unto me, write, blessed are the dead which die in the Lord from henceforth. Yea, saith the Spirit, that they may rest from their labours and their works, do follow them. None other than those who have died in Christ. Verse 19, and the angel thrust in his sickle into the earth, and gathered the vine of the earth and cast it into the great winepress of the wrath of God. The winepress was trodden without the city, and the blood came out of the winepresses, even unto the horses' bridles, by the space of 1,600 furlongs. This is the result of what Paul says in Thessalonians, where he talks about the apostasy. 1 Thessalonians chapter 2. The 2nd of Thessalonians chapter 2. And reading from verses 11 and 12. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. Strong delusion, intoxicated by the wine of the fornication. These are strong words, dear brothers and sisters, are they not? But this is why Paul wrote to the Galatians. And they mean so much to us. Galatians. Reading from chapter 1 and verse 6. Paul says, I marvel that ye are so soon removed from him that called you into the grace of Christ unto another gospel. Chapter 3, verse 1. O foolish Galatians, who hath bewitched you that ye should not obey the truth, before whose eyes Jesus Christ hath been evidently set forth, crucified among you? Dear brothers and sisters, we have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb. At the end of that chapter 3, verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. For as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. There is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female. For ye are all one in Christ Jesus. And if ye be Christ's, then are ye Abraham's seed and heirs according to the promise. We have been redeemed, dear brothers and sisters, by the blood of the Lamb. Christ, our Saviour, because we have acknowledged the call and we have put on Christ by the waters of baptism. And we do rejoice when we witness another who has entered that race for life. And we read this morning regarding Philemon. Paul is telling us about Onesimus, a young man who had done wrong in the past. But through Paul's words of truth, he had seen the light. He had put on Christ. Philemon, verse 10, I beseech thee, Philemon, for my son Onesimus, whom I have begotten in my bonds, which in time past was to thee unprofitable, because he ran away, but now profitable to thee and to me. Verse 16. Onesimus, not now as a servant, but above a servant, a brother beloved. Special to me, but how much more unto thee, both in the flesh and in Christ. At verse 11 we read, in time past. This is meaning the period before Onesimus' conversion to Christ. A great transformation that had occurred in Onesimus. He was newborn. He was a new creature in Christ. He was completely transformed. His new way of life was radically different from his former way of life. And this had been achieved by the word of God and the hand of God which Paul had preached to him. And we read in Romans 12, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind. Onesimus was a slave or a servant. Then he had run away. He had escaped from Philemon, his master. Whether he had taken anything from Philemon before departing, we do not know. But the word of God had changed his mind unto salvation. Onesimus had had his mind transformed. Paul here was under the Roman law and not under the Jewish law. And Paul had to return him to his rightful owner because the Romans severely punished both runaway slaves and any who assisted them to run away. Paul's plea to Philemon was that he treated Onesimus as if he were the apostle Paul himself. And we read that in verse 17. Receive him as myself. Dear brothers and sisters, we must forgive those who have wronged against us, because we cannot be forgiven ourselves if we do not. Paul was very keen to have Onesimus work with him, but not without Philemon's consent, hoping that he would return. Hence Paul said in that verse 11, but now profitable to thee and to me. Onesimus' name actually means profitable or useful. Verse 15 of that Philemon. For perhaps he therefore departed for a season, that thou shouldest receive him forever. Paul contemplates here divine providence in the life of Onesimus. We are sometimes unable to see the hand of God in our lives until afterwards that we see the ways of providence. Paul could also be referring to the Jewish law, which provided for a servant to voluntarily submit to serving his master for as long as he lives. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 21, where we have recorded for us the law. Exodus 21 and verse 6. And then his master shall bring him unto the judges, shall also bring him to the door or unto the doorpost. And his master shall bore his ear through with an awl, and he shall serve him forever. He shall serve him forever. David in the Psalms, in Psalm 40 and verse 6, is quoting here from Exodus, from the law. Turn with me to Psalm 40 and verse 6. Sacrifice and offering thou didst not desire. Mine ears hast thou opened, and in the margin it says, digged. Burnt offerings and sin offerings thou hast thou not required. Then said I, lo, I come. In the volume of the book it is written of me. The awl was pushed through the ear into the post. And that word there, digged, in the margin, the same word is used to the slave when he is committed to his master, when his ear was pierced. And when that awl was pushed through the ear into the doorpost, the blood would run down the doorpost. This is an antitype of what happened to our master on the stake. And without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin, we are told. Paul was quoting in Hebrews chapter 10 from the law and the Psalms, which we will read in a few days' time. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse 5. Wherefore, when he cometh into the world, he saith, sacrifice and offerings thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me. In burnt offerings and sacrifices for sin, thou hast had no pleasure. Then said I, lo, I come, in the volume of the book it is written of me, to do thy will, O God. Onesimus was now willing to serve his master forever. And brethren and sisters, are we prepared to serve our master forever? So Philemon was now able to welcome Onesimus back, not merely as a slave, but as a brother in Christ. The truth, dear brethren and sisters, is a great leveller of masters and slaves, bond and free, rich and poor. We are all one in Christ Jesus. And this is what fellowship in the truth is all about. That oneness of mind and oneness of purpose. Remembering whom we are and whom we serve. But brethren and sisters, we realize that we fail and come short of our high and holy calling. and because we fall short of the standard of the one whom we remember this morning. Turning back to Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 15, words that are very applicable. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Turning back to Philemon. Verse 18. Paul says here to Philemon, if he hath wronged thee or oweth thee aught, put that on mine account. I, Paul, have written it with mine own hand. I will repay it. Dear brothers and sisters, when our Lord and Master returns to make up his jewels, Christ will put any of our debts that are owed, he will put on his account. He will, in God's mercy, pay all our debts, as long as we have forgiven those who sin against us. Dear brothers and sisters, the exhortation for all the saints in all ages is to set their minds on the things which are above and not on the things of this life, and to love the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ. The signs of the times herald the coming of the Master. Let us be brimming with confidence, boldness, full of faith, but humble. We pray, brethren and sisters, it may not be long now before we see our Master's face, and in his mercy and in his love, partake of the emblems in his kingdom.